Numbers 13 in our Bibles. We're going to start in verse 1, read down to verse 3, and then drop down to verse 25. Numbers 13, starting in verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now go down to verse number 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, obviously, there's two sets of advice given here. The good advice by the two spies, and then the bad advice given by the 10 spies. So let me start slightly off of this account, and then we'll tie it back into the account here in just a moment. Let me kind of give you something about Bible study in general, and then tie it into this particular Bible study. As you study the Bible, it's important to remember, now listen carefully, I'm about to tell you. It's important to remember that there is only one major interpretation of the text that you're reading. So the text says something, and there's one major interpretation of that text. Now, watch this. Yet, there can be multiple applications drawn from the text as long as the application is rooted in the text. In other words, it actually says something about what you're saying, and the text and the application doesn't change the interpretation. So you can't say, okay, here's what this text means, and then have an application that has nothing to do with the text, or by way of application, it changes what the text says. Now, I'm telling you that on purpose. Now, follow me here. So when you go to the Bible, there's one major interpretation, and then you can glean application from that, as long as it's in the text and it doesn't violate the text. Now, let me explain it this way. If you think of a gemstone, or even a stone itself that may have some sparkly stuff in it that glistens, a gemstone can give many different but beautiful perspectives as you look at it in the light. You ever do that? Sometimes maybe if you have like a diamond and you kind of look at it in the light and you kind of move it and you see it's sparkling or different perspectives, kind of a different look to it. Some stones kind of have kind of a cloudy look in it. There's different stones have different perspectives that way. But as it turns in the light, it kind of glistens or has some different perspectives in it. So too is the Word of God. So too is the Bible. As the light of the Holy Spirit is shown on the Word of God, and it shines through the Word of God, it gives us a different perspective as we're looking at it. Now, it doesn't change it. You don't have your own. You don't get to have your own interpretation. Okay, you can't say, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but here's what I think." And that's not what we're talking about. But we can go to the text, and the Holy Spirit can show us some different applications from that text as long as it's actually in the text and doesn't violate the text. Now, I think about that because I think about some of the great sermons I've heard from different men who preached from the same text but had a different application from it. I think this was back at Hiles Anderson. if I remember correctly, I think I was still in college when this happened. It might have been at a church somewhere, but I'm pretty sure it was at Hiles. It was a chapel time, and a guy got up and he preached. In fact, I can show you the reference. It was in Matthew chapter 9. I remember the sermon, but I can't remember exactly place where these sermons were, but it seems like in my head it was at Hiles Anderson. Matthew chapter 9, and I'll show you the text, or the substance of what they were preaching about. Look with me in Matthew chapter 9, look with me in verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So, sermon number one, guy gets up and he preaches a sermon on soul winning. Great sermon on soul winning from that text. Let me ask you, does that text talk about soul winning? Yeah, going out into the harvest field. And so I remember sitting there thinking, man, that's a great sermon, really spoke to my heart. A few weeks later, I heard another sermon from, watch this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, verse 38. Here is this text. Then saith he unto disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, who will send forth laborers into his harvest. And his whole sermon was on prayer. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And he said, the problem is we do too many things in our flesh. We don't pray. We don't seek the Lord. We just go off without actually seeking the Lord's help in these things. And he preached a great sermon on prayer. Well, let's go back to the text. Is there anything in our text talks about praying? Yes, it does. And so it was a great sermon on prayer. And so what I'm saying is, as long as what the application is actually in the text, doesn't violate the text, then there's a lot of things we can glean from, by way of application, from the text. Now, here's why I'm saying all that. Knowing the perspective, in other words, looking at it maybe like turning it slightly and seeing maybe a different application, knowing the perspective by which you're looking at a text can help you understand the applications then you are drawing from that text, if I understand the perspective. So sometimes, as I'm doing a Bible study, I'll tell you, here is the way I'm approaching it, so you can understand the perspective, so you understand how we're drawing the applications out of it. Now, last week, the perspective was that of a leader. Anyone remember the leader's name? Aaron, correct. Good, everyone's on the same page as I am. So Aaron was the leader, and did he take good advice or bad advice from those people? Bad advice. So we talked about a leader taking bad advice and how to approach it that way. Now, tonight is different. There's a different perspective. Now, we could look at this. There's probably a leadership perspective in this, but that's not how we're looking at it. Tonight, we're looking at it from a more of a follower's perspective, trying to make decisions about how to follow. Different perspective, slightly different applications we're going to draw from this. So the bad advice by the 10 spies in this account here in Numbers 13 is very well known. They said what? Go or don't go? Don't go. They said don't go, don't go, don't go. Now the two that had the good advice, they said to do what? Go. So we know the different advices. Now, not only do we know the bad advice, what else do we know? The bad consequences. Because they listened to the bad advice, and that brought about bad consequences in their lives. And so we're going to look at this from that aspect. As followers, having a choice here in advice, how do I make some decisions about listening to advice or choosing? Now I'm kind of giving you my whole Bible study here. Choosing who to listen to. Because I have these people saying this, I have these people saying this. So how do I make some choices about this? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Numbers 13. And look with me again in verse number 1. We'll draw the first application now. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now what's interesting is, that's not the whole story of that. Now, let me go on another little side trip. So far, we've really not gone very far down a main road. Let's go on another side road. You know, as you study the Bible, let me just say this. You know what you ought to do? Study the Bible. Some people get off into half-cocked things because all they do is read the Bible halfway. Do you know if there's more than one account, you ought to study all the accounts? Because God does this. I'll give you an example. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, do you know what they put up? Remember they put a sign above his name? And every one of the gospel accounts gives you only a part of what it says. And unless you look at all the gospel accounts, you don't get the whole thing. Now, here's the question. Why did God do it that way? Here's my answer. I don't know. But that is what he did. And he requires us to study his word. So let's look at another account of what we just read to understand all the story here. So go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And look with me in verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 19. Because as we read more about this account, we get a more understanding about what's happening. So if you hold your place in Deuteronomy 1, and we look again at, and I would encourage you to maybe to leave a bookmark there, because we'll come to Deuteronomy 1 a couple different times in this Bible study. But if we look back at our original text in in Numbers 13, verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men." But now catch the rest of this story in Deuteronomy 1. Look with me in verse 19. This is Moses speaking. "When we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea." That's the account that we read about in Numbers 13, Kadesh Barnea. Okay? "And we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said unto you, You are coming to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." Now watch verse 22. "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and in what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." Now, let me ask you a question. According to Numbers 13, who sent them? God did, right? Well, let's see. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at the word of God. Chapter 13. I keep getting all my numbers wrong here. Sorry. Numbers 13, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men." That's in Numbers 13. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 22, "And ye came near to me, unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us." Well, in Numbers 13, it looks like God is sending them. In Deuteronomy 1, they're doing it on their own. Well, which is right? Both, because they're both in the Word of God. So we combine it together, and here's what we understand. Moses said, We got to go. The people are like, well, now notice, there's a point, there's a reason I'm going all this. The people said, Let's send people ahead of us, kind of do some recon. We've never been there, don't know much about it. Maybe there's an easier path, maybe there's a harder path. It'd be nice to know what city is in front of us, which is the bigger, which is the smaller, how they're defended. We can start preparing as we head that way if they give us some forward advice. And so it seems like, if we try to combine these two accounts, that maybe wisely Moses said, Lord, here's what we're planning on doing. And the Lord said, go send them. So we put all the both accounts together. And what we see is, it seems that the people instigated it. And God then sanctioned it. Now, all that to give you number one, and then I'll explain it to you. Here's our first thing we're going to understand. Who do I listen to? They're saying one thing, they're saying another. Who do I listen to? Number one is this. Consider the source of the advice. It seems evident from reading these two accounts, even though it was God who sanctioned the sending of the spies, it was the people of Israel who initially desired that the spies would go and search out the land. Now, why? Go with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22. "And ye came near to me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again." Now watch this. "By what way we must go up." What were they searching? For the best way. I'm driving home a point I want you to get. Were they looking for whether they should or shouldn't go? No. What way? What's the best way? There was no decision about going or not going. The only decision was how to go and how to do it. So even though God sanctioned the sending, the people of Israel initially desired that the spies would go and search out the land. The spies' advice was to help them decide by what way we must go up. They were not to give advice on should they go, but how to go. These 12 spies were given a command. Go search out the land, find the best way how to go. They came back, 10 of them said, we shouldn't go. That's not what we asked you. That had nothing to do with what we asked you to do. Our question to you was, go find, or our reason of sending you, we want advice of how to go, not whether to go. That's the critical thing to understand. So watch this. The people of Israel should not have sought advice on matters of faith from those who are living in fear. How do I know they're living in fear? Because they're coming back and they're scared to go. Why are you sending a bunch of people who don't have faith to tell you how to go live by faith? That's not the ones you should have sent. Their unwillingness to go, watch this, should have disqualified them from giving advice to the rest of the people. When they came back and they said, oh, they're tall, the walls are big, we can't do this, they should have said to the 10, go sit down, we're not listening to you. Our reason to send you was to tell us how to go, not whether we should go. When you began living in fear, you disqualified yourself to giving advice to those who are trying to live in faith. You have disqualified yourself in this. We did not ask you whether we should go or not. We asked you how to do what God has called us to do. So once they said, back in Numbers 13 and verse 31, once they said this, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up. They should have said, sit down, shut up, you're done. That's not what we sent you to find out. So we have to consider the source of the advice when we're taking advice. Now, what does that mean on a practical way for us? As a believer, do not go to non-Christians looking for advice on how to live as a Christian. Do you think Christians do that? All the time. You know, there is, on a TV show, I know this because when I go to the dentist, usually I always go early. I always give me the first appointment because I hate getting there at 9. If they open at 8 and you get there at 9 and you don't get in until 10. So I'd rather go there at 8 and maybe get there, eight, you know, get in at 8:10. So I always give me the first appointment. I want to be in there first. But I usually end up waiting 10 or 15 minutes. So whenever they open, I don't know what time it is, but I get the first appointment. I'm sitting there, and there is this TV show on. Usually. The View. Let me tell you, The View is not real nice. I mean, just looking at it, my view of The View is not very nice. But there are people, born-again believers, who sit there and watch shows like that and take counsel from it. Well, I know. I mean, that's what they said. Well, first of all, let me tell you, I would say all of them are liberals. Even the conservatives are liberals, really, if you think really understand what conservatism is. They're all liberals. The vast majority of them espouse things that are anti-biblical, anti-God, anti-moral. Why are you listening? Why are you going to the internet listening and watching things that are not Christian? Well, you know, they might have something good to say, but they're not believers, and why are you following non-believers about how to live a Christian life? We're not talking about going on YouTube and finding out how to build a deck, okay? We're not talking about going to YouTube and finding out how to plant flowers. We're talking about how to live the Christian life. They're not Christians. Why are you listening to them? What do they know about the Christian life? And so we, as a believer, are not to go to non-Christians looking for advice for how to live as a Christian. Let's make it a little bit more pointed. Neither should we go to carnal believers looking for advice on how to be a spiritual believer. Hi, Mr. Carnality. How can I live for God? How would they know? They're not doing it. Okay, why are we going to carnality trying to find advice of how to be spiritual? So let me give it to you one more way. Avoid believers who are disobeying when looking for advice on how to obey. Which is what the Israelites should have said. Why we listen to you? Your advice is to disobey. Our desire is to obey. So you shut up. Let's listen to these two guys. Unfortunately, they didn't. So let me just make it along this way. So I could say this. Don't take advice on soul winning on those who don't go soul winning. Don't take advice on praying on those who don't pray. Don't take advice on serving on those who don't serve. Don't take advice on tithing on those who don't tithe. Whatever you want to fill in the blank. You know, what's interesting right now, there's a lot of non-church-going people, even believers, a lot of non-church-going people advising on us about not going to church. The truth is this, if all the doors were open and there was no virus, they still wouldn't be here. So why am I even listening to you? Your problem isn't a virus. Your problem is carnality. And so that's not who I'm going to listen to. So if I'm going to, now, as a follower, I got to decide whose advice I'm listening to. I'm going to consider the source. What is the source I'm listening to? If these Israelites would have done just this first point, they would have missed a lot of heartache. You're carnal. You're wrong. You're telling something about fear when we're supposed to be living in faith. Consider the source. That's the first thing. If I'm trying to now to follow the right thing, I'm okay, I don't want to follow the bad advice, so I'm considering the source of that advice. That's number one. Number two ties in with number one. It's kind of a sub point, but we make it a separate point. Go back with me to Numbers 13. Look with me in verse 30. In verse 30, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Now, we stated this slightly, kind of in number one, but we're going to restate it and build on it in number two. Number two is this: seek advice from those who encourage your faith, not excite your fears. There are some people, it doesn't matter the issue. I can already tell you, it's life-threatening, earth-ending. It doesn't matter what it is. That's how they live. Everything is life-threatening and earth-ending. Everything is not life-threatening and earth-ending. In fact, very few things are. But that's how they live. Everything is, they live in their fear. So why am I listening to you? I can nod, I can smile, I can be nice. I can walk away and say, I don't believe a word they're saying. That's some people, it doesn't matter how much sunshine there is, they will find that cloud. They're perfect at it. That's how they live. They always are looking for that cloud. It's a beautiful day, but way over there, look how that cloud, it's going to bring a storm. Okay, that's just, and why are we building our life on people who only thing they want to do is excite fear and not encourage our faith? Now, obviously, the obvious group of those people, anyone know who the obvious group is? Media, yes, that's the media. They excite your fear. They don't encourage your faith, that is for sure. Think about it this way. All 12 spies had the same knowledge and experience from searching of the land. They didn't go 12 separate ways, did they? That's not what I see from Scripture. It wasn't like, okay, you go there, and 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 boom, boom, all the way to 12. No, they seem to stay together in some type of group. And they made notes together, they experienced it together, they saw it together. So when they come back, they all had the same basis of knowledge to share with these people. So this isn't a problem of different knowledge or different experience. There's something deeper that was a problem here. So two of the spies encouraged faith, while the other 10 excited fear in the people. Same knowledge, same experience, but yet the way they are bringing out things is totally different. Because some people say, well, you know, I got to listen to them. They got the experience. That doesn't make them right. Experience does not make someone right. Because sometimes it's experiences that they failed. That's really not maybe the person I should be listening to either. So experience, and now, it could help, yes. It helped Caleb. It helped Joshua. But it didn't do too much for the other 10. Okay, let me give you another statement here. It's not just one's basis of knowledge, but a faith that determines the value of their advice. Now, really, I'm talking about this as a believer looking for advice. Okay, I'm not talking about as an investor looking for financial advice. I'm not talking about someone who needs a car fixed. I'm talking about living my life, seeking good advice on how to live my life. Well, you know, they're 120 years old. They got a lot of knowledge and experience. But that doesn't mean anything. What it means is, do they believe the Bible, or are they trying to encourage my faith? That's who I'm looking to. I need my faith encouraged. That's the people I want to listen to. So we need to seek advice from those who encourage our faith, not just excite our fears. There are people who always, by their choice now, they respond in fear. And if you listen to them, you will always respond in fear, because that's what they do. Now watch. It does not mean that their knowledge is wrong. It means, typically, their fears are not valid. Think about these ten spies. Did they have the same knowledge as the two good spies? But they had fear. Was their fear valid? No. Well, I mean, it was valid. In fact, they knew what they were talking about. But it wasn't valid because God had already promised. Okay, let me ask you. I should not make assumptions. Is there a God in heaven? Yes. Did this God make a promise to this specific group of people? Yes. He promised to give them what? The land. Let me ask you, does anything else matter? No. Okay, let me tell you, they're over there. They got M1 Abram tanks. They got nuclear weapons. They even have aircraft carriers parked on land. I mean, that's how many they have. They're just on land waiting for us. They have all kinds of weapons, and all we got is David and a sling. We're picking all of our stories together. Well, all we have is David and a sling and a few rocks. Let me tell you, I'd say trust God. Well, how is a sling and a rock going to take down aircraft carriers? It's not, but God can. So I'm not looking just for knowledge. I'm looking for someone to encourage my faith to live for the Lord. And so if all you're doing is exciting fear, then that's bad advice. I don't need that. It never happened. Well, God can't do it. We're all going to die. Okay, that's not the people I want to be listening to. Again, it does not mean their knowledge is wrong, but that their fears are not valid. And it doesn't, well, let me put it this way. Basically, their advice is tainted by their fear, and therefore it needs to be avoided. Let me show you a verse, very common verse. Go with me to 2 Timothy. My guess is that somewhere in the last few weeks, couple months, you have turned to this verse. 2 Timothy. Chapter number 1. Look with me, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. This is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord does in our hearts as we walk with Him and trust Him in these times. Now, let me give you one caveat and then move on to the third point. This does not mean, now watch, I am not, that's my head is shaking, no, this does not mean that we avoid any advice that elicits fear. Someone was asked me a question recently, and I said to them, do not do what you're thinking about doing. That's really bad. Bad things are going to happen if you do that. Okay, I'm trying to elicit fear because I'm saying this is going to be a bad outcome. Don't do this. Now, that didn't mean my advice was bad because it elicited fear. Okay, I'm not simply saying, well, if you make me have fear, then it must be wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any advice that elicits fear is wrong. What I'm saying is avoid those people who are living in fear and giving you advice because that advice is going to be based on their fear. These 10 spies weren't saying, oh, you're all going to die, but we're going anyways. There's like, oh, no, we're not going to go. We're all going to die. And you should have said, get out of here. We don't want to listen to you. Let's listen to two who are living in faith. Okay, so we're not saying avoid any advice that elicits fear, but that avoid those who are living in fear, giving you advice that is eliciting fear in you. So number one, consider the source. Number two, seek advice from those who encourage your faith, not excite your fear. Big number three, go back with me to Deuteronomy 1. Maybe one of the most obvious lessons in this that we need to be reminded of, especially as Americans. There's certain things about our American mindset that makes us unique. I'm sure other people in other countries wish they were. No, I mean, those people in other countries have their own uniqueness. But we, as Americans, we're, just because we live in America, we have a certain view about life, just by how we are raised and our history and our culture and things. But if we're not careful, it hampers our spiritual development because we start taking our American mindset, applying it to the Bible, and that's not good. Always. Deuteronomy 1, look at verse 26. Notwithstanding, ye would not go. Now, this is Moses talking about the account. This is for him, it's history now. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us up, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Now watch this. Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, now who's the brethren? The 10 spies. Good. The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Now drop down with me to verse number 32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. They did not believe God, correct? Who did they believe? The spies. How many spies? 10. 10 told them good or bad things? Bad. How many told them good things? 2. Now, here's the American mindset. This is how we normally think. We're poll driven. We vote, and we always think, well, you know, whoever got the most votes ought to get elected. And then we get mad because it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes rightfully so, because we have electoral college. That's a whole other discussion. But anyways, in our mind, we think everything has got to be poll-driven. If more people think one way than the other way, then it automatically ought to be that way because more people think that way. And what Moses said is, you followed the 10, didn't you? You should have listened to the 2. Because in our minds, if it's more thinking one way, then it must be the right way. And God is saying, it has nothing to do with how many think one way or another. All that matters is what God says. So it brings us to the third important application. Number 3 is this. Don't follow the advice of the majority just because they are the majority. The advice of the majority is not right just because everyone thinks that way. Groupthink is stupid sometimes. People just follow along. Just keep going. You know the old stories, right? Just stop on a busy street and go like this. They start looking up. You know what people are going to do. And then if you really want to confuse them, go. And they're like, and everyone's looking. And then just walk away and leave the crowd. And they're like, yeah, I see it. You see, I see it. They don't know. It's funny. But that's how people are. We have this idea of groupthink. And the advice of the majority is not right. Just because everyone thinks that way doesn't mean that it's the right way just because everyone thinks that way. Now watch. The advice of the majority is not wrong just because the majority thinks that way. So in other words, if the majority thinks A, doesn't make A right. If majority thinks A, it doesn't make A wrong. It doesn't matter what the majority thinks. It has nothing to do with right or wrong based on majority. Right and wrong is determined by who? By God. So the advice of the majority is simply the advice of the majority. Doesn't matter how many think that way. That's simply what they think. Maybe good, maybe bad. It's just what they think. So when you think about this idea about seeking out good advice, and this is where we should be listening to the 2 spies in this story, not the 10. Our first goal in getting advice. So I'm trying to think, okay, I need good advice here. So what's my first goal? My first goal in getting advice is to find out if there is a clear teaching in the Bible concerning a decision I got to make. So if I'm trying to think of something or try to come to the conclusion of something, my first thing it should be is, does the Bible say something specific about it? Okay? So let me give you something. So if someone says to me, because of all this things going on, I'm not laid off, and I'm only working 20 instead of 40 hours. So I'm only getting paid half as much. Do you think God would be okay if I, went to work and maybe took some of the things they had there because, you know, they're not paying me and I need the money. So what if I like took all their toilet paper and started selling on the black market? Here's like gold bullion right now. You think God would be okay with that? What would your answer be? No. Is there anything clear in the Bible about not stealing? Yeah. So some things in the Bible are very clear. And if I have a question, go to the Bible. Now that's I hope, is an easy one for us. But if there's something clear in the Bible, then you go to the Bible to find out something like that. So if there's clear teaching in the Bible concerning that decision, that's what you do. So if there's a clear teaching, you need to obey it regardless of what anyone else is doing. What if everyone at work is stealing toilet paper? What should you do? No. What if everyone at work is telling you, I'm telling you, you better get it while it's here. It's going to be gone. All the stores are going to be empty. I mean, it's going to be bad news. We won't get into the graphics of it. It's going to be bad news if you don't take this. Look, this whole warehouse is full of toilet paper. They won't even miss it. You need it. You better take some. Your family's depending on you. Should you take it? No. It's stealing. So it doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. If everyone at work is walking away with big armfuls of toilet paper, running out to their car, and that doesn't make it right. Okay? So if there's a clear teaching, we obey it regardless of what anyone else is doing. Now, what if there is no clear teaching? Well, the Bible doesn't say yes or no about something. So then should I follow the crowd? No. Then I need to go back to the previous points. I find someone who is spiritual, and I say, help me to make a good spiritual decision about this. What if the spiritual person is telling you something and they give you biblical reason? Now, it's not maybe a clear teaching like stealing, but they say, okay, here is generally what the Bible says. Here's how I think we as believers ought to live. You see their lifestyle. They seem to be spiritual people. And this is what they're telling you. And you notice everyone else in the world, or the majority of the world, is going a different direction. So I have a decision. Should I listen to the spiritual people or should I follow the crowd? What should I do? Listen to the spiritual people. But how could everyone be wrong? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. This is not a new concept. In 2020, majority all of a sudden became wrong? No. It's been wrong for a long time. The way of God is always right. That's what we seek. Now, what if the majority is doing the way of God? Do we go the other way now? No. We're still going to do the way of God, but we're not doing it because the majority is doing it. We're doing it because it's the way of God. And so we're not following the advice of the majority just because they're in the majority. And we're not ignoring it because they're in the majority. We're trying to seek out what the Lord would have us to do. So let me give you something to write down now. If you seek to follow God and not the crowd, you will at times be part of a crowd and sometimes not. Because sometimes a crowd is doing good things, right things. And the second statement would be this. But if you're seeking God, then the crowd's presence or absence does not change your mind. The crowd is immaterial. What matters is what does the Lord want. If I can do what the Lord wants and 100 people with me, great. But if it means I go by myself, I go by myself. I don't need the 100 people. I need God. That's number 3. Don't follow the advice of majority just because they are majority. Let me give you the last application here. Go back with me to Numbers 13. So we're trying to make some good decisions, which means we need good advice. So who are we looking for? Well, we're going to consider the source. That might eliminate some of the folks we're listening to. We're looking for people who's encouraging our faith, not just exciting our fears. We're not necessarily seeking the majority. We're just seeking what the Lord has us to do, and the crowd is immaterial to this. And that brings us to the fourth. Chapter 13, look with me in verse 28. Nevertheless, the people, now this is the 10 spies now, the bad advice. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. In other words, they're all over. No matter where you go, you're going to be fighting. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with them said, "We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. This is too hard, too difficult. This is beyond, you know what you're asking the people to go, to do if they go? That is too much." That brings us to number four. Don't ignore those who give you good advice that is difficult to follow. Our carnality sometimes plays a role in this. We look for the advice that's easiest, which is not wrong in itself, unless we're willing to do easy, even if it's wrong. Good advice isn't necessarily easy advice. It is the right advice, though, in spite of the difficulties. Now, there is nothing wrong with doing something the easy way as long as it's the right way. You don't have to do something the hard way just to do it the hard way. I mean, if I'm on a path and this is the path of doing right, and on this path I can do something easy or hard, then, you know, wisdom tells me, well, let's do it the easy way. We don't necessarily have to do it the hard way. But I'm not going to choose the path of easy just because it's easy. I want to choose the path of right, and if right becomes easy, then great. But I'm not choosing easy, I'm choosing right in this. So there's nothing wrong with doing something the easy way as long as it's also the right way. Yet we don't ignore the right way just because it isn't easy. And sometimes it isn't easy. You ever read in the Bible when Jesus called people to follow him? And some people didn't follow him because it wasn't easy. And some, remember, he called the different ones and they said, well, let me go do this first, let me do this. And they always had something else because you're asking me to do something very difficult, something hard, and I need to do this first. And he basically said, then you go do that. But this is what we're doing. Sometimes the Lord calls us to do the hard thing, and it's the right thing to do even though it's hard. So we don't ignore the right way just because it isn't easy. And the good advice may be the most difficult advice. But we still do it because it's the good advice, the right advice. So let me give it to you two more ways. If it is possible to do the right thing, either in a hard way or an easy way, then do it the easy way. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I think we all agree. If it's right and I can do it either way, yeah, sure, do it the easy way. You know, if there's an easier way to do it, and we're still getting the job done, we're still doing what the Lord have us to do, great. And really, this is what the 10 spies, the 12 spies were supposed to do. How do we do the right thing the easy way or the easier way? But they came back and said, don't do it at all. Well, no, that's not what we asked you about. So we do it the easy way. If there is an easy way, then do it. But if doing the right thing can only be done with difficulty, still do the right thing. Let me give you, it's in the text. You've got to kind of read into the Hebrew. There's four words there that you might not rightly see, but I'll tell you what they say. It says this, suck it up, buttercup. That's basically what the two spies were saying to them. They said, let's do it. Oh, it's hard. The walls are high and thick. The people are giants. We're like grasshoppers. They're going to eat us up. We're all going to die. Yes, let's go. Wait a minute, that seems hard. It is. Let's go. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do the right thing, even if it's the hard thing. To us, our lives are the most important thing. It should not be. We're purchased. We're bought with a price. Doing right is the most important thing. If I can live and do right, great. Doing right kills me, I should still do right. Is there a verse about this? To live is something. Christ, yes, that's it. And to die is, what's it? Gain, yes, that's it. That is a verse, is it not? All right, let's get to the end of the Bible study. It is important to see the bad advice given by the 10 spies and the negative consequences that occurred because their advice was followed. So we want to see that. They were given, the 10 spies give bad advice, bad things happen. It's also important to see the good advice given by the 2 spies that was ignored, which would have had positive consequences. Now, of course, it's hindsight, 20/20. We see clearly the 10 spies were bad advice, bad consequences. The 2 spies, good advice, would have had good consequences. But for us now that we're looking back, here's how we now apply this. they had this nation of Israel, they had both types of advice offered. But what they did is they failed to identify from which group to take their advice. I got group A, group B. Who should I listen to? Well, if I can eliminate one group, then I know which advice to listen to. Because I'm not going to listen to the ones who are living in fear, who are telling me opposite of what the Bible says, so forth and so on. So they had both types of advice offered. They failed to identify from which group to take their advice. They shouldn't have, really, the decision shouldn't have been which group. They should have said, 10 spies, that's not what we told you, out of here. And then they would have known who to listen to. Last statement. If we are better at choosing the right group from which to seek advice, we will have better advice from which to choose. And that helps us in this idea of bad advice. All right, let's pray.